T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mully and Hall, mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
Abreu cracks it to right field. Mancini at the wall. This will not hold it. It is gone. Jose with a dart to right. And the Sox expand the lead. It's 6-1.
2-2.
He struck him out, and the Sox win the opener, hammering the Orioles 12-2. A good night for the Sox all around.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score. A good night for the White Sox all the way around, indeed. And certainly Manny Valenzuela's getting his first start in 4 years.
How about that?
As part of a bullpen start, what effectively was a bullpen start.
Who said the Sox wouldn't be in a position to rely on a Manny?
Oh, boy. You know what? You just want to ruin everything whenever we talk about the Sox. You want to talk about a good start. You want to talk about
it? It was only four innings. It was sort of a Darvish-like start.
You just threw Manny into the mix.
Well, I mean, it's a Manny.
That's not fair.
A Manny you can count on. Manny of the moment. Nah, all those bad puns that went to the wayside when you swung and missed in free agency.
He's a Manny.
Well, I'm wearing my shades so that you guys don't see the shock in my eyes.
Yeah. That was a good moment last night for the White Sox.
Abreu had 5 RBI and a home run. His bat's come alive. And James McCann, that game was still in question when he hit the home run. He gave them a 3-run lead, and it was a great at bat, James McCann. I believe he started 0-2 in that at bat, and he just stayed with it. And at one point they were going to take another look. He kind of hit a little rope down the line, and they took a look at it. The White Sox did. You could see him debating whether to throw a challenge flag, but it was foul. And then you end up with a 3-run homer.
Can we just pause for a second to appreciate that move? James McCann has been a guy that didn't get a lot of attention when he came to the Sox. Hasn't gotten a lot of attention since he's been here. He's only only a part-time player because of the way the Sox deal with the catching with Castillo and McCann. It gives him a veteran presence. But last night, that home run was one thing. The other thing was he picked the guy off third base, caught him sleeping. And I think it was Nunez was on third base. He threw down there. And it helped Manny get out of a jam. It's a terrible team. But the Orioles are the team that you should beat you're the White Sox.
That's exactly right.
That helps you get well. It helps you build confidence. And McCann has been a really stabilizing presence behind the plate.
The grandmother of Eloy Jimenez passed away. And so Eloy has gone back to the Dominican Republic. They're very close-knit family. And he is on a bereavement leave and will miss all 3 games of this series, and the team called up Nicky Delmonico. He started in left field. I got to tell you, it was just great to see Nicky. It was really fun because, and Jason said it correctly, like all those players seem to get along with each other, and he's got a fun personality. They did this thing where they asked, what was the first concert you went to? And Nicky Delmonico said that he said, Madonna or was it NSYNC? It was Madonna or NSYNC, something like that. And then he like looks at the camera. He's like, why are you laughing? It was hysterical. It was absolutely hilarious.
He's the kind of guy that you like having around the clubhouse. He's good for everybody's mood. If he could play well enough to stay, he'd be an asset. And, you know, he hasn't been terrible, but he hasn't been good enough to where you know, don't consider him – he's expendable. But he's going to be a nice shot in the arm. I don't know how long he'll stay, but he's a good story in his own right. You know, you talk about the narrative, the backstory. A guy that beat addiction and can have that kind of frame of mind and perspective in a major league clubhouse, you like to see him show up.
I got to tell you, I was trying to remember the first concert that I ever went to. And it might have been the World Series of Rock at Soldier Field.
Was this what Nicky Delmonico's
answer sparked?
Okay, so what was yours? World Series of Rock?
It might have been the World Series. I thought, where honestly, it was at Soldier Field, I believe. I think it How was like in the mid-70s. I would have been like 10, 11 with my brothers. Maybe I was 12. I don't know what year it was. But it might have been Blue Oyster Cult at the amphitheater. It was one of those two, believe it or not, which is ridiculous. I didn't even know anything about Blue Oyster Cult when I went and saw them in concert. And then I ran out and bought a record because I thought they were great. What year was Don't Fear the Reaper?
Don't Fear the Reaper.
Yeah, remember that song?
I do remember the song, but I don't remember what year it was.
Hit. And they had a song called Godzilla. What year was that?
Was it a good experience, good concert experience?
1976. That's what it sounds like.
Was it
like.
A good concert experience?
And I don't remember when the World Series of Rock was. It was one of those two because they were near each other. It was a great experience, yeah. I mean, both of them were great experiences. I think the World Series of Rock, I had a bad sunburn. And it was just a really hot day, and my back was killing me. Mm-hmm. I have a distinct memory of like being in pain and not enjoying the concert.
I was older. For my first concert, it was, I think I've told you this before, it was Madonna at Soldier Field. Who's That Girl tour, 1986.
Wow.
And
what? I mean, like, what were you? You're like in your mid 20s screaming
no,
at
her? No. I was a teenager going to my first concert, and I took my girlfriend, my high school girlfriend, and my sister and her friend, and they were all in those two were in the back seat. We were driving home late to rural Indiana on a Saturday night.
After seeing Madonna,
and we got lost. And so we're driving around, four teenagers That's from so Indiana yeah. on the south side of Chicago, lost around midnight on Saturday. But all's well that ends well.
I remember going to a second city show. And it was the Russians had invaded the U.S. I don't know what this – it was this whole shtick. And they were giving reports. And the Russian tank brigade had pulled off the Rhine and headed east and had gone missing. They couldn't be found. It was the second city joke. So the idea of you driving around the east side of Chicago is pretty
frightening. You can laugh about it now, but I tell you, when you have three teenage girls with you
–
and you don't really know – where you're going, because at that point I did not know where I was going.
Yeah, that's
but Madonna was fantastic.
And there was no,
I did not have GPS. I did not have Waze telling
Dustin,
me.
Dustin, what was your first concert? I'm dying to hear this one. Uh oh. It's got to be something really cheesy.
First concert with my friends or no, first concert ever?
No, no, no. First concert ever. It had to be like Black Sabbath or something.
No, I went with my parents.
Oh boy, Neil Diamond.
Neil Diamond.
No, get out of here.
Poplar Creek.
Oh yes.
On the hill.
See.
On the hill with a bucket of chicken from either Browns or KFC.
Oh yeah.
Right. And then like going full circle. Right. Going full circle on that. My wife, very pregnant with our first daughter, Neil Diamond comes back around, is at the United Center. And like, you know, like my wife's having like an ice cream cone at a concert. I'm drinking a bottle of water. Like I'm on the no booze team, no fun team for not the whole 9 months, but I tried to not partake. Right. I tried to be fair about
Love
it.
On the
so
rocks.
We're at a concert with my parents again.
That's nice.
At least with my mom. Maybe I don't know if my dad went to that one. But yeah,
song,
Neil Diamond.
Song blue, everybody knows us.
Jazz singer, that's it. Look at you, Neil Diamond.
My brother went to a Neil Diamond concert first when he was in high school, and he said that he wound up like arm in arm with people, and he was just like, oh, God. He was, you know, you're a high school kid. Neil Diamond shows up at the United Center, which was then Chicago Stadium. I'm covering the Bulls. They did this thing where they would be like, the guest disc jockey is whomever. And there'd be some celebrity in the crowd. It was never anybody that good. And the crowd would be like, oh, yeah,
polite
congratulations.
Applause. Yeah. Polite applause.
They're like, the guest disc jockey is Neil Diamond. And the crowd is like,
and nobody knew it?
No, everyone went like, oh, hey, oh. And they gave him a big round of applause. Neil Diamond jumps up, and he does this elaborate bow to each end of the crowd. He's standing at his seat, bowing to the right, bowing to the center, bowing to. And as he started bowing, the crowd went crazy and really gave him like a standing ovation. But it was almost ironical. It was almost just like a huge joke because of the way he was bowing. And then he's like grabbing his heart and he's blowing kisses. Neil Diamond then went into the Bull store and cleaned the place out of all its leather jackets. He bought a leather jacket. He spent thousands of dollars and bought jackets for everybody in his entourage and all the band back home and everything else. It was one of the funniest things I've ever heard of. I read it in the paper after seeing this unbelievable moment of Neil Diamond.
You were
bowing.
Covering it for the paper, but you read about it in the paper later?
I read about it. I read it. I think it might have been Snead or something. Okay. You know what I mean? It was one of those. Right. I didn't cover the. You got scooped
on Neil Diamond?
I was covering the actual game, not the gift shop. I should have ran back to the gift shop like a David Hall would have.
See it, write it.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Ray? What was your first concert?
Mine was very eventful. I was in eighth grade, and I went to see Juvenile of Back That Ass Up fame. And
I went to see that Ass Up fame?
Yes. You know, I'm sure you've heard the song, Dustin.
I guess that's why I was at Neil Diamond. I don't know Back That Ass Up.
So I was in eighth grade. I went to the UIC Pavilion, and there were women getting on stage, stripping down, and dancing. So that was a big deal for an eighth grader. Yeah. I do remember that. And then there was a shooting in the parking lot.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
Wow. Nice eighth grade adventure.
Wow.
Wow. That's unbelievable.
Rite of passage.
You know, that's the beauty of that question. And I'm glad we talked about Nicky Delmonico coming up, because I think everybody, even if you're listening driving, you're thinking about your first concert. What was it, and where was it, and was it Back That Ass Up, or was it
Madonna,
was it Song Sung Blue, or
come on,
Material Girl,
yeah,
or
Holiday,
or Don't Fear the Reaper.
Oh, yeah,
I think I win.
You
frankly.
Win. Okay,
yeah, at least that's a great guitar riff. 312-644-6767.
Is that a fight between guitars?
It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. More cowbells! Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Very well played.
Yeah, that was great, guys. Good hustle there. Okay, so we have a lot of people texting in with their first concert, and some are hilarious, including a guy who texted in and said that he was embarrassed every time the question comes up because he went and saw NSYNC. But here's the champion, all right?
Mm-hmm.
The winner, knock it out, best concert, first concert ever, our own Mitch Rosen, our boss, he was 9 years old, and he went to Chicago Stadium with his mom to see the Village People. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he was dressed as a construction worker, okay. If I'm not mistaken.
Did the YMCA. Did you see a young Mitch raising his arms to the sky? YMCA.
He still does it.
Young man. Yeah. There's no need
Happy
to feel
memories.
Down.
That's
Young
awesome.
Man.
You know what's awesome is, like, it's so much fun to ask that question because there's so many embarrassing.
Well, everybody feels probably a little bit sheepish about admitting where they were if they went with their parents somewhere. You know, if it was somewhere they wouldn't necessarily go. But that's a good one.
Yeah,
Village People's a good one.
That's pretty funny. I gotta call my brother and find out if that was my first concert. If it was the World Series of Rock, I think Ted Nugent performed in that.
Did he?
Yeah.
Ted Nugent. Yeah.
And
he's still performing, by the way. And still making news.
Who else was in that?
Still making headlines.
38 Special was in that.
Oh, 38 Special.
Yeah.
And, I like 38 Special
back
in the day.
Who else was in that one?
Loverboy?
No. You know, what is that song, One Something Riverside, where the guy is like on the phone, he's like, he picks up the phone and the guy's playing the guitar.
Maybe I'll get it this time.
You know what I'm talking about? No, I can't remember the name of the band, but they were there with Ted.
See, it takes a real 815 texter. Went with some buddies to see Debbie Gibson. See, now that's worse than admitting YMCA
well, this is pretty good
and the
too.
Village People.
First concert, Kiss, in 1979 at the amphitheater. I love the old amphitheater because we had buddies who were, I won't even tell the story. They basically were Andy Frains. And so you would go up and they'd just let you in. And then you had no seat, but you'd wander around and you'd be at a concert. It was kind of fun when I was in high school. Elvis at the Chicago Amphitheater, 1972. That is a huge winner. This guy fell asleep. 1970, Jethro Tull. sitting on a park bench.
Weird Al Yankovic at the Metro Center in Rockford.
It's unfortunate.
Eat it. Remember that Weird Al?
Oh, yes, Weird Al Yankovic. Yeah.
The parody guy.
Did you know that he, like Weird Al, I don't know where he went to college. He may have gone someplace pretty good.
Where he went to college?
Weird Al Yankovic has like an unbelievable IQ. He's like a super bright person. He's like the man is a virtual genius. Was he an Ivy Leaguer? I mean, he's like a really bright guy. Weird Al. He must be to come up with that stuff. John is in Joliet. Good morning, John.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, guys. Now, first of all, my first concert event was a Molly Hatchet 10 years after Thin Lizzy concert. It was called Day at the Park at Sox Park. But the thing was, I went with my dad and my uncle, and I had to be about 15, 16 years old. Here's the part that was bad. My biology teacher was passed out in the infield with a bottle of Everclear and Hawaiian Punch, and he told me, if you tell anybody, you will flunk biology. The guy gave me a B for not telling.
So you passed biology because you didn't tell anybody?
Yeah, my dad said, who the hell is that? I said, that was my biology teacher, Mr. Fantozzi. He's like, oh, my God. But, yeah, I got a B, and I didn't even have to do homework.
Way to go, John. Way to go. Hey, Weird Al didn't go to an hysterical Ivy League school. He went to Cal Poly.
Well, that's a pretty good school, isn't it? What's his IQ? He's meant to be a very bright guy.
He got a degree in architecture.
Hey, Weird Al Yankovic. Come on. Would you have guessed that?
No, probably not.
Do you know what was really weird? I was watching the Motown. I love Motown. I'm watching the Motown 60th anniversary show on Sunday.
Did you see Diana Ross?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. How about Smokey was still belting it out? I mean, is that humanly possible?
Diana Ross is 75, though.
Yeah, I know.
And she's singing.
Well, Smokey, how old is Smokey? He's got to be same age.
Unbelievable.
Older. I think Smokey's older. At any rate, it was really weird because did you know that Barry Gordy's sitting there, and he's like in his 90s.
He's 89. My 89? Wife did not believe that he's 89 years
yeah,
old.
Yeah, he looked good for himself.
Unbelievable.
And behind him, Smokey's 79. Smokey is 79, and he was singing like that? That can't be right. At any rate, sitting behind, do you know the guys from, what is the name of it? Party Town's in the House Tonight. What's that song? Party Rock is in the House Tonight. What's the name of that band?
It's like LMFAO or something.
Whatever. Those guys are the sons of Berry Gordy. Did you know that? I did not know that. So they're like brothers or half-brothers of Rockwell, who back in the day was a Berry Gordy child. Mm-hmm. I'm sure he's got more of them. He has about 9 kids. He's been married
quite a life.
5 times, yeah. Right? Or 4 times, 3 times.
Yeah.
And he's got, didn't he have a kid with Diana Ross?
I don't think so.
I believe he did, but out of wedlock. I don't think he ever married her. No, I'm just saying. I think in the day, he may have had a kid with Diana Ross. I'll look it up.
Do some research.
Jim is in Lake Bluff.
Good morning, Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. This is actually about my daughter's first concert. She wanted to go to Britney Spears, and she was about 8 or 9 or something. And, oh, my God. You know, we live in Lake Bluff. Kinley Park. I'm like, gee, okay. So we drive her down there. My wife and daughter go in. I go, I'm not going in. I sit in the parking lot with a six-pack, and I'm listening to the Score all night. It was great.
So you chose the grobber over Britney.
Yeah. Yeah,
who wouldn't?
That's awesome. That's a pretty good story, Jim. That's a long way to go. We have a texter. saying that Weird Al graduated high school at age 16. He apparently is very bright. So there. Let's get Mike. Mike Esposito? What was your first concert, buddy?
It was not the Village People, thankfully.
Mitch is sitting in his office trying to get some work done, and all of a sudden he just jumped up.
All of a sudden he's 10 years old again.
It's not possible with the Village People on.
Oh, 9.
Mine was actually very non-embarrassing, but I was 14 or 15. It was New Order and Public Image Limited
at
Poplar Creek. Right, I went with my high school buddies, but. This will date me, right? Because it's pre-cell phones. We got stuck in the parking lot. I got home at like 3 in the morning, and my parents were a little bit upset about it, that.
Was that Johnny Rotten's band, Public Image Limited?
Johnny Rotten's band opened for New Order. It was the New Order Technique tour, like 88 or 89, whatever it was.
Aren't you cool?
You know,
I enjoyed
cool
it.
Kid?
It was a good one. I do have a Neil Diamond story, too. We went after college.
Who doesn't?
Everyone does.
We're like 22 years old. We just graduated college. It's a joint party, like six or seven of us, guys, girls, whatever. And Neil Diamond is just killing it. And there is a group of, and I'm not even kidding, I went to Catholic school for 12 years, St. Pat's, all of that. There's a group of about 20 nuns, like right in front of us. And they are just belting out Sweet Caroline, everything in front of it. I'm like, holy cow, look at those nuns just killing Neil Diamond. It was a good, we had a good time. We may have drank a little bit that night. I'm not sure.
Don't kid yourself. 22. So did they.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. The nuns were in good form, though, as was Neil.
Grand Bigs. Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Molly and Haw. Bigs time.
The Bigs Report.
With Brad Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigs.
His name is Brad Bigs.
Brad Bigs talks football with you.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. Brad Biggs is the football man for the Chicago Tribune. He joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram hotline, home of the real deal. Biggsy, of course, football man for the Tribune, a dear and valued friend, and of course a longtime contributor on the station. Biggsy!
Hey, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
What was your first concert? We were talking about that this morning. What was the first concert you ever saw?
Oh boy,
we have heavy metal circled as the possibility.
Yeah, I'm thinking something like I don't know, circa.
Yeah, I think it was AC/DC.
AC/DC. Oh, that makes good. Sense. That's makes good. A lot of sense. Yeah. That fits
explains
the big profile.
Explains a lot.
Explains a lot. He says.
I was just looking up. How about this? I went to the World Series of Rock in Soldier Field. The headliner was Ted Nugent. Also, Lynyrd Skynyrd, REO Speedwagon, Journey 38 Special. Lynyrd Skynyrd plane accident was like months later. So I saw Lynyrd Skynyrd before they broke up, died, whatever. Nice. Ronnie Van Zant.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that awful? But I still think it was Blue Oyster Cult. Yeah.
And I bet Dave was...
Madonna.
Was Cougar?
It was Madonna.
When they still called him Cougar, right?
It wasn't Johnny Cougar. No.
It was Madonna.
No, I did see him, though, Brad, but not before I saw Madonna.
Yeah. Finally,
in all her glory.
He left Indiana in 87 to go see Madonna.
Material girl. And it was worth it. It was worth it, Brad.
Bigsy, who's going to be the first pick in the draft? Is it going to be Kyler Murray? And what does that say about Arizona, their future, their head coach, the guy they're going to have to trade for less value than they obviously offered him a year ago?
Well, yeah, less value than they used to acquire him a year ago, but less value based on how he performed last year when he played too, although that was a bad roster. If the Cardinals promised Cliff Kingsbury that they'd head in the direction that he desired, it's certainly possible that Kyler Murray will be the top pick in the draft Thursday night, about 10 months after the Oakland A's made him the 10th pick in the Major League Baseball draft. And if that happens, I think then one of the next questions you've got to ask yourself is how many quarterbacks will come off the board in round one, and will any other quarterbacks go in the top 10 picks of the draft, and that's something that they could hang around a while on the board if Murray indeed goes first overall to the Cardinals, who will have to then trade Josh Rosen. I don't see a functional way that you keep the guy around on your roster, and so the question is, okay, where does he go? Does he go to the Redskins, are the Dolphins a candidate?
Giants?
Potentially for a trade.
Well, it's a tangled web, Brad. It certainly is.
Giants.
And I find it fascinating, your mock draft on Sunday, because you have Drew Locke going to the Broncos at 10, and you have Dwayne Haskins falling to the Dolphins at 13. Why would the Giants pass on Haskins? Do you think that's just a bluff? Why wouldn't he make the most sense there?
Yeah, the Giants, it sitting where they are, you'd like to think that they'd finally get a guy to potentially replace Eli Manning at number six. But Dave Gettleman is, old school, and it certainly could have a shot at a quarterback later on in the first round with the second pick. Remember, the Giants are one of the teams operating with two first-round picks, and they've got some maneuverability then as well after that first pick. So it's going to be interesting to see because opportunity for a lot of football teams here to get better. And, the Giants, certainly, they've got to get a quarterback. They really do. A guy to, even if you're just going to bring him along this year, that's fine. But they've got to prepare for the future. Eli had a great run with the Giants. They won a couple Super Bowls with them, but it's time to find that successor.
Who's the best player in the draft? And it's always a different question as to who's going to be picked first.
Yeah, some people think it's Quinnen Williams out of Alabama. He could be the best guy in the draft, although, I remember talking to a guy back in August who was telling me, how much he preferred Nick Bosa to any player in the draft, and he still feels the same way, and Bosa looks like he could easily go second to the San Francisco 49ers.
Hmm. Brad, if you're the Bears, and we'll hear from Ryan Pace later today, but as I wrote this morning in the Tribune, I think this is what you want out of every year in the draft. You don't want the draft to be the pinnacle of your offseason. You don't want to invest so much hope and time and emotion in the draft to where it matters as much as it has had to matter for the Bears in past years. So this year, if you're Ryan Pace, you might be tempted to move up. You might be tempted to be aggressive, but you're going to get a good player no matter what the position at 87. So just take the best player available.
Yeah, I think that's probably going to be part of the message he says today when he talks around a bunch of questions and probably doesn't say a whole heck of a lot, because nobody wants to show any of their cards 48 hours before the draft. But their roster is much, much better than it was at this time a year ago, even more so than how the roster looked 2 years ago from now. So they don't have some gaping holes. Do they have some places where they'd like to add some talent? Sure, every team does, but that will allow them to be true, I think, to their grades, to their board, and get a football player that they really feel excited about at 87 to come in and compete to participate a little bit. You don't need to lean on that guy as a third-round pick and a rookie, but come in and make a contribution for your football team. I don't think they'll want to trade up. I really don't. They've got a real shortage of draft picks. They've got a shortage of picks for next year. So I think you get a decent-sized group of players you're looking at 87, and you wait and see what unfolds Friday night as the pick comes closer.
It was interesting because Luke Kunell sat in yesterday, and he was waving around a $100 bill wanting to bet that Ryan Pace would move up. He's convinced that Ryan Pace, and not only that, Brad. If you just follow the master, right? Bill Belichick looks at the draft, and if it's a good draft, he gathers picks and makes sure he has enough of them. If it's a bad draft, he always trades out and moves to next year. I'm not suggesting that they don't have needs and that they move out all they can, but it wouldn't bother me if they decided to try to move to get more for next year. Because, part of being a general manager is replenishing the roster repeatedly and making sure that you're building not just for 1 year. And I get it, they're close, but they also have to be thinking long-term and how long a run can last and all that. Listen, use your picks. You don't have a ton of stuff. But if you get an opportunity to get more, to move to next year, I would be very
take
game
the long
for
view.
Something. Yes.
Yeah, and I they are close, and I'm sure they feel that way. And the window was kicked open when they made the Khalil Mack deal, but I don't know that you bridge that gap if you make that move from 87 into the end of the second round. Does that late second round pick, is that the guy that was going to be the difference maker? Because a trade like that is going to cost you, you know, pretty significantly when you consider what they're operating with this year in terms of draft picks. And again, they're short in 2020. So I think, you know, a lot of the people who are wondering if Pace could be aggressive here and trade up are looking at his background the past couple of years when he's been super aggressive. And that's warranted. But, folks, the bill comes due on the Khalil Mack trade, and eventually – you know, you've got to pay it. This is the beginning of the Bears having to, you know, pull out their wallet and pay for that trade with the Oakland Raiders. So I think he'll be a little more pragmatic here and get a cloud of players at 87 to identify and see what comes.
A cloud of positions, Brad. That's
yeah, a cloud of positions. Yeah. And they should pay that with a smile because that was a trade.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But if they... boy, if they make a big move up the, you know, and to me, getting into the second round would be a relatively big move.
Yeah,
it's going to be a really short weekend at Hallis Hall because there's just not going to be a lot of draft.
Well,
picks.
I mean, you'd have to tap into, you know, the second round picks from next year along with your third to move up to the second round.
I would think so, and that's what they're banking on next year. That's what they've talked about next year is. You know, really what swung the Mack trade for them was getting that Raiders second round pick, which could be, you know, relatively high in 2020. And, so let's just call it, you know, let's call it 39th overall or something. And then maybe the Bears is near the end of the second round. So that's nice to have. But again, in 2020, no first round pick, no third round pick. So if you deal one of those twos away, now you're going and you're talking about going into a draft with one pick in the top three rounds.
And Brad, before we let you go, by all accounts, isn't this a pretty deep running backs draft? So if you are looking at that position and you have identified that as a potential need.
I think you get
need.
Talent in the middle of the draft at running back. And then, you know, they might be able to get a tight end in the middle of the draft too. Someone that could come in and perhaps, you know, compete a little bit too. That might be another position to, sort of keep an eye on Friday night, certainly early on Saturday.
Great stuff, Brad. Thank you, pal.
Thanks, Brad.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs. Always fascinating. 312-644-6767 is the telephone
number. AC/DC
fan. Yeah. And we have a texter pointing out to me that it was the Super Bowl of rock, not the World Series of rock. I think he's wrong. I'm pretty certain it was the Stanley Cup of rock.
You were young.
Yeah, I was.
You don't remember. That's all right. You knew you were there.
I was there, whatever the hell it was.
Whatever it was.
Yeah. Again,
the World Cup of Rock.
I got to find out when did Blue Oyster Cult play the amphitheater because it was one of those two shows. They seem to have happened fairly close to each other.
You were wearing out the Google machine this morning.
Yeah, I was. It's not easy. But it's a fun little topic. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.